Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reggie Adetula. I realized somebody was like, why does everybody call you Reggie, but you call yourself Reginald? And I was like, you know what? Do I have to, explaining that again?
It might just annoy
everybody, but
we always get new listeners.
My name is Reginald Adetula. I like my name. My mama gave me that name. But also, people use the more casual form of people's names. And it was really weird when everybody was calling me Reginald all the time. I was like, I don't think I've ever had somebody do that. And so I was like, no, y'all good. Y'all can call me Reggie, but I will do, at least on the first reference, I'll call myself Reginald. But
there
it's
you
cool.
go.
You can call me Reggie. It's cool. People have called me Reg. I ain't fought him or nothing.
What else have they called you?
Well, some things that I have fought over. But either way, I am still me, and I'm still happy to be on this very program with you at this moment. What I'm not happy about is that the Texans' offensive line and offensive play just in general, the output has not been at a place that is, I don't know, appealing. It has not been sufficient. And we've seen that, right? We've seen even D'Amico Ryans, who has been really, really defensive of his guys and so on and so forth, has been very vocal in saying it's not good enough. Everybody has to be better. You know that I love the EPA and these things and, you know, the graphics of these things as well. Seeing the different graphs and such have been really illuminating. This Texans team offensively, like the defense is doing a lot of carrying. They have fallen into a tier of team that is, around with the Bears and such. Like, that is the caliber offensively that we're talking
that
about.
That hurts. And you're not wrong.
And it's supposed to, right? Like, especially with the expectations.
That hurts.
With the expectations this team has. Yeah. Like, you are along the lines, and of course, not exactly in the same space, but, like, when you talk about the caliber of team, with the way that this defense is playing, but with how, let's face it, poorly the offense is playing, all things considered, like, that's putting you in that place. And we've talked a lot about the Jimmys and Joes. We've talked a lot about the actual players and their capabilities or lack thereof, or their ability to actually get it done or lack thereof. At what point does coaching culpability come into this?
Yesterday at 3 p.m.
Why that time exactly?
Yes, I'll tell you the exact time that it became about coaching for the Houston Texans. So yesterday at 3 p.m., the only move they made was Khalil Davis going to the Niners. Nothing of note, right?
Much ado about nothing.
Okay, I was going to say that. So you'll hear it tonight, but...
you will hear it tonight.
you'll hear
Texans
it tonight.
Texans All Access.
On Texans All Access.
6P, right, Fit?
Yep,
that's right.
But Nick Caserio said the trade deadline, more often than not, is much ado about nothing, which is not true. It's much ado about nothing for him, but the Chiefs would disagree, the Bills would disagree, the Ravens would disagree, the Steelers would disagree, hell, even the Cowboys would disagree at some point. but the AFC teams I just mentioned are all ahead of you, or tied in the win column.
Okay, like the actual...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I was getting into the more nebulous space of like, do you power ranking kind of a
heavy? No, just the Steelers wins and losses.
But like, yeah, when it comes to the actual wins and actual losses, I believe. Well, the Ravens are tied with. They're 6-3 as well.
Or even.
Yes.
They're either tied or ahead of you. So they'll disagree that it's much ado about nothing. Okay, couple that with, we all have to play better. That irked me so much, as you guys well know.
It's true.
And I love that man. But God, dog, man, we all have to play better? I think we know where you have to play better the best. So in that moment, to me, it became about coaching. Because here's what happened, Reggie. Here's what happened, Figgy. Mm-hmm. When they stayed status quo with the offensive line, and by the way, it's not just the offensive line that needs help, as we've often talked about. They basically said, and we're going into week 10. They, being Nick and D'Amico primarily, said, our coaches will get this right.
Not explicitly, but kind of. That kind of is what it feels like, yeah. Right? If everybody needs to be better, and the guys that you have are the guys that you're going with, in theory, it's like they need to play better, and the guys that are the people that are in charge of helping them play better need to do their responsibilities more. And I think that brings us to two names in particular, I think. We'll figure out if I'm forgetting anybody. Mm-hmm. One is obviously Bobby Slowick. And the thing that I always ask, because people are like, he needs to be held accountable. What is the accountability? And so, in a way, I think, what is accountability that can be had for an offense coordinator? Well, obviously, one with any job is being fired.
Yeah.
That's not helping nobody in this circumstance. You're still 6-3. You're still very well on the path to winning the AFC South, going to the playoffs. Like, firing that dude, I don't think, is something that you can do. Taking away play calling responsibilities? Is that something you can do?
Maybe.
I don't know that I feel great about that because, and this is a question that I've asked, and ultimately this is where I want to get to with Bobby Slowick. Who's his OG? Yeah. You know, I mean, we talk about this. Who's his vet in a way, right? We talk about this in sports sometimes, particularly I always think about it in the context of basketball, but you got guys who have their vet in football and other sports as well. Who is the person that will help him when maybe he reaches an impasse that his experience is not? Or that he has not experienced those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also think that...
Sounding board, OG, sounding board, whatever you want to call it.
The next person that you would give play calling responsibilities to if you were to do it was Jerod Johnson, right?
Probably. Probably Jerod Johnson, who I believe...
Anybody else have like play calling experience?
Well, Bill Lazor, right? Senior offensive. He's been around the league a little bit.
But I don't imagine that they'd give him play calling. He's an offensive analyst, right?
I don't know. Ben McDaniels, you know.
And so, like, I don't think that you pass responsibility, but who are the people that are charged with helping the man that's in charge? And, like, it feels like, and look, I'm not in that room. I can't give you a definitive view of what this looks like.
Yeah.
But I can talk about what it feels like. And it does feel like Bill Lazor should be the guy that's able to give you give Bobby Slowick, hey, in these circumstances, when I've seen it, in my experiences being an offensive coordinator in the three previous places where I've been a play caller or been an offensive coordinator, when this issue comes up, these are some of the things that we go to. Yeah. Maybe not being like, hey, this is what you need to do, but hey, these are some of the things that you go to that can help you get to those places. And we've seen Bobby Slowick cycle through some trying to find some answers, but he hadn't found them, and he hasn't gone through all of them. And you do wonder, like, hey, isn't your play calling, isn't your offensive coordinator, like, analyst that is on this staff supposed to help? And I do wonder if that is something where, not quite accountability, but help can be had in having somebody. And this is where, like, someone like Norv Turner coming in for the Raiders made me think, like, hey, where's that person that can be a senior analyst that can help?
Where's Gary Kubiak?
Help some of the answers. I wouldn't hate to Kubiak right now.
Where's Gary Kubiak?
Gary, if there's one thing Gary Kubiak gonna have is an offensive line that runs some zone well.
Yeah, it is. But here's the thing, man. Like, I said 3 p.m. yesterday because when the deadline passed and you said, you basically said, we're good. We feel like we're good. There wasn't a deal out there that we thought was going to be worth it, or it's much ado about nothing, or Jarrett Patterson is going to be more than enough to fill that void and make the offensive line. Once you say we're good, it becomes about the coaches.
Correct.
Because what you're saying is, it ain't the players. And they literally have said, we can all play better. So, 3 p.m. yesterday until the end of the season, I'm telling you, it's about, can these coaches make them better? And if they can't, Figgy talks about, you know, there are several things on the table in the offseason. All of a sudden, things could turn for these guys. It's about coaching the rest of the way.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just come up with a whole new coaching staff as far as like on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And
on maybe, offensive side.
Yeah, on the offensive side, man, because they spent a lot of money on this offensive line, mm-hmm. and I ain't think they would be this bad like this.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's fair. Somebody on the YouTube went to just a theory that I hadn't even, or not even theory, but just kind of a thought that I had not even gotten close to getting to. They said when we were going through head coaching hell, huge part of me wanted to see what our Johnny Harris had as a coach of some sort.
Oh,
dude
boy.
Knows ball.
I think he's in a good gig.
Yeah. But again,
I don't think we want to step into that.
I know.
We mentioned it earlier. When it comes to coaches, they build different. They just want to coach. So we should ask John. If you
I can tell you his answer.
Okay, great. From the 832.
You can be a DB coach.
Yeah.
There you go. 832 on the 5-hour energy fan line says, don't you think D'Amico and the coaches are on the offensive line's keisters? But you don't make it a public thing about it. I do. It's the professional way to do it.
No, I think that could be right. What I'm saying is now there's no more, oh, it's this or that. It's coaching. Because the general manager and the head coach both said, we're good.
Yeah,
he's not not making the excuse of we got to get some better players in here. These are the better players in their mind.
Or at least the players that you got, right? Like, this is what you got to make the food. Yeah. And this is where we come to the other coach, I think, in this. And the one that people have clamored for talking about. Offensive line coach
Chris Strasser.
Right? There are some, and I don't know what it is about it, because again, offensive line is almost this kind of magical place that I don't fully understand, and I think is a lot harder for a lot of people that are not in those trenches to understand. But there's just some guys that can get great offensive line play. And of course, you need the Jimmys and Joes of it. There's some people that you will never be caught dead without a good offensive line, right? And those names start to come to mind. Mm-hmm. Munchak comes up. Callahan, the Elder. Yeah. Comes up, right? Like, there's some names that come up for you, and I do wonder why is it that this offensive line struggles sometimes with technique, struggles sometimes with communication and knowing where they're supposed to be, or like knowing when they need to help and when they don't need to help the person next to them. Like, why is that the case? And that would, I imagine, fall on Chris Strasser to make sure that those things get all together. And we're 9 weeks in and we haven't seen that fully.
Look, the other thing that D'Amico said is we all have to play better. He didn't want to just say, you know, it's on just on the offensive line. He said we all have to play better. Okay, so let's take it. Let's extend it a little bit. Why hasn't Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie stepped up a little more consistently? He says he's got the guys. That's coaching. Why has Tank Dell been a little bit less than we expected and somewhat erratic, although he had a good game, you know, this past week? That's coaching. So I can't emphasize this enough. They've told us it's not the players. Okay, that kind of narrows it down.
But I think this is something that is going to be obviously something that we all watch.
Yeah.
And I imagine including the building watch over the course of the season. We talked about with with D'Amico in his coach's show, the Coffee with Coach on Texas All Access. They have talked about how, you know, there's these markers for self-scouting and evaluation. 9 weeks in, midway through the season, is one of those markers. Like, let's see what they have self-scouted and what they shift about this team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if those things do not land, I do wonder what can be done on the fly in the middle of the season. But also, you start to begin to think about what you might have to do at the end of the season. That's further off. But, like, what can you do right now to get this team to play better, particularly on offense, and play up to the level of the talent that they've acquired and the investment that they've made in this team?
It's very, very much on what they do from here on out, because you talk about the investment in this team. They've made that investment all over the place. They've in a not-so-indirect way said this is going to be our year. They have talent. Nobody's ever questioned the talent on this team. Hell, you know, the national media outlets were putting them right up there as a Super Bowl contender. Okay, but it's not the players. That kind of narrows it down, as I mentioned earlier. And it's not just Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
It's the receivers coach. It's Chris Strasser. Hell, you can look at the secondary, coach, even though the defense has been the strength of this team. If you're saying it, they're good enough, well, then it kind of narrows down where the problem needs to be fixed.
Yeah, and maybe this gets even better. We do know that Jarrett Patterson is playing today. If he's available to play, you would hope that you get more of what you saw in that 10 game, or 10, I keep saying game,
10 snap
10 snap 10-play drive that ultimately led to a touchdown where he takes over for Kenyon Green before he gets his concussion, mm-hmm. right? If you get similar play to that where he's able to be passable, be solid, now it's really incumbent upon Bobby Slowick because you can't, you know, if you're not having those big breaks at left guard that are, you know, causing, you know, pressure up the middle mm-hmm. and causing other players on the offensive line to have to try and cover for Kenyon Green or what have you. If you're not having those breaks, now you get rid of that issue to a point, or at least you get it to a place where it's on Bobby. You know that you don't have the best offensive line, but if you're not having major slip-ups, are you doing the things that mitigate this? Are you getting the ball out quickly? Are you getting the ball into space, right? And that, and I think you have even more opportunity to evaluate what these coaches are doing because, as you mentioned, the no moves on the deadline do point to the idea that, hey, coaches, it is now incumbent on you to get it done with these guys that you have right here.
And, you know, you can even throw C.J. Stroud in there. As much as he's saved their backsides on multiple occasions this year already, you know, the old game plan we've talked about, that's coaching. You know, the short passes. Now, they've shown us some a little bit here and there.
But, not nearly.
But has this, enough. Yeah, has this offense made the adjustments that you feel is going to protect the franchise?
Right, and also in moments where, you know, where you can see that there people are walking guys up to the line, making sure that you have your hots and making sure you get it out, right? Like yeah. your hot routes, all those things you hope to see come together more consistently as you move forward, and it's going to be absolutely necessary.
No pressure, Bobby.
Lots of pressure, Bobby. Don't let him lie to you. It's a lot of pressure out here, but I believe in you mm-hmm. for some reason. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time for our lunchtime confessions that are brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Let's do those next.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions. Million dollar idea. Hell, billion dollar idea. Multi-billion dollar idea.
You gonna give it away for the low?
I need investors.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I got the OG sauce and my podcast.
You got
going.
That money?
I can't.
Yeah.
I don't need to diversify that much.
It's no worse than the guy that got money asking for money. Like, come on, man.
Multi-billion dollar idea. You ready?
Nope.
It came to me last night for some reason. Can't imagine why, but it came to me last night for some reason. Sports only Twitter.
You can make that happen, though.
I mean, you can do the filters and the blocks and all that stuff, but no. Just
stop being lazy, Lopez. Just get to work.
That's a lot of work because I got all these people popping up all of a sudden with the, you know, with new accounts and all these other things. Sports only Twitter. Let's go.
I ain't gonna lie, man. That might be a little boring for me, man. I can't just do sports only.
Well, you can search the other things, or you can go back to the old Twitter if you need a fix.
Yeah, I think with like Twitter, some of the appeal was that I mean, you could have your little list or whatever, but like it's almost operate as a one-stop shop for a lot of things.
And you can go there, but for certain times when I just want to work, man, I woke up this morning. I just
came here to dance for y'all.
I just want to do my job. All right, that's another. I just want to do my job.
To dance for y'all. That's it.
Get up. The alarm rings at 5:30, and I'm like, oh Lord, where's my stuff? Where are my people? I'm like, I want to talk sports. I want to read things. I want to see if it's on the coaches with the Texans offensive line and all this other stuff. And I'm like,
My man, you need to go to ESPN.com or something. I don't know.
You know how many filters I would have had to put on this morning?
Sound like you need to put some filters on. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. Watch this.
All right, so while you dance around this thing, I will get close but not tip all the way.
You're
in.
You're going to waltz?
Again, apolitical. However, it got me. I told myself, I'm not paying attention to election coverage. I'm like, I'm going to go. I'm going to get my hair twisted, and then I'm going to come home. I'm going to, like, catch up on a little bit of TV since I know that there's not any basketball on. I ended up having, like, Miami of Ohio playing football. I ended up having that on. But it's the problem when you have three TVs.
Three TVs, got to have one on.
It's great when you have three TVs because you can put all sorts of stuff on when there's a lot. Mm-hmm. When there's not a lot, you end up just putting stuff on. You know what ended up getting putting on? Election coverage. And it drew me in. I wasted at least an hour, over an hour for certain, just being drawn into election coverage. And this is the thing about election coverage. There's no point in watching it happen, right? It's all in there.
Yeah.
Everybody done voted.
Yeah. Right?
We watching them count. I was like, what am I doing?
It ain't going to be done until 2 in the morning.
Right, so just like, like, you know what it feels like to me? Fantasy football. Stick with me.
Yeah.
Right? When I did play fantasy football, I long came to the idea of, once you set your lineup, check it on Monday. Mm-hmm. Check it on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we watching the points come in? Who cares? Like, they going to play? I'm not going to change it by looking at it. Let them play. Right? And in that same way, I failed my own edict because what was I doing? Watching them tap screens, bounce around, looking at maps like a dummy.
It's
Watch this. These are my confessions. All right, so while y'all tiptoe around it, I'm about to tango with just me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
I did not watch any of the cover.
Oh, wow.
Good job.
You didn't watch any?
I didn't watch a peep of it.
So proud of you.
And honestly, like, to me, and this is another confession too, I never found it interesting, man. It was always confusing to me. It was boring. And the past couple elections, I did try to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, I'm just like, I'm not even watching. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just wake up in the morning for a surprise.
Yeah.
Like I stayed off of I feel like social media kind of did a good, or at least my timeline was cool because it wasn't there.
Except
really,
when you're trying to do your job.
But the thing is, a lot of stuff wasn't really popping up with that. Like, I was running across some funny little stuff on there that had nothing to do with the election.
Yeah.
You know, also some of this is like you curate your experience. So you might have to look inside.
Yeah, but the people are sometimes like, not expected to be doing going down that rabbit hole.
But see, the thing is, when you click on one tweet, then you start seeing multiple of them.
Yes,
so
yes,
it's best to not even engage or not even click on that tweet. But I told my wife, I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to turn the TV on.
Yeah.
I want a surprise in the morning. I'm just going to wake up in the morning, check us, and just check social media. And by just all the reaction, I'm like, okay, I know who won. So I'm like, and I actually liked it that way too. It was fun.
Nice little surprise in the morning.
Yeah, it's nothing like a surprise to see who won.
Right. You missed a little, Ohio, Kent State. You missed a little bit of that.
Oh, okay. University of Ohio.
That's actually today.
Ohio U.
No, Miami of Ohio versus Miami. Ball State was the game. Miami of Ohio versus Ball State was the game that you missed.
Watch this.
Okay, so I danced, you waltzed. What'd you say? You tangoed?
I tangoed by myself.
I'm about to cha-cha slide one more time.
Oh,
here.
Wow. You doubled down. I thought we were all going to get one in.
We over here dancing.
I thought it was going to be one. We was all going to get one dance.
I'm about to cha-cha slide one more time here. And the reason is, because this is a legit confession, the main reason I plugged in to some of the coverage last night, hand of God, more than anything else, I'm fascinated with Steve Kornacki.
Oh, okay.
That dude.
So you're one of those?
He's amazing.
Okay.
Like, he is a, forget, you know, like the way he'll look at a map and say, this is blah, blah county next to blah, blah county. And he's not looking, he's not getting prompted. He's not getting notes. He's got those. Well, actually, he wasn't wearing khakis last night. He's known for his khakis. And he'll go to, okay, now let's go to West Virginia. Well, you know, this county is blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this dude is a Who Wants to Be Millionaire lifeline waiting to happen. Mm. Like, how he knows the counties in all 50 states, that's, he's got to be like Rain Man kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, that's,
he's amazing
to me. That's some nerdy type stuff. Everybody had them nerdy type things that they just know everything of that. Like Reggie know all, I don't want to say all, but you know most of the stadium names.
Yeah,
that's just kind of like a little nerdy thing.
By the way, I got that in my back pocket on my file. I'm gonna give him a test one day, maybe tomorrow.
Okay,
I'm gonna say the team, and he's gonna have to tell me the name. Yeah, the stadium.
Oh, man.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Riveting radio.
Good meeting.
Riveting radio. I'm sure that's
good. That dude, like, just to know the counties. Like, I know Harris County, Bear County, you know, Dallas County, Tarrant County. That's about it.
I mean, come on, a little love for
I know
Fort
a few
Bend
others,
County.
But hey.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
We about to be like Footloose. No more dancing. All right? Sick of this dancing.
Yeah.
Too much dancing. We not doing a shuffle.
Yeah.
We not doing a cha-cha slide. None of it. It's done dancing. However, I might not be dancing for an entire other reason. It is 4 days after I played pickup basketball for the first time in a while, and apparently I have been slovenly, did not realize this. I am only just now getting over the soreness of playing pickup basketball for the first time in a few months. I was like, yo, I didn't realize I was that out of it before.
Welcome to your 30s.
Yeah, I guess so. I was like, look, man, what am I going to be sore for, a day, two? Nope, four. 4 days, apparently, is what is required for me to get mostly past playing pickup basketball, my body feeling like I've been getting into the car all like wooden, you know what I mean?
Look,
like,
who you're talking to, dude. Look who you're talking to.
There's a lot of people that are like, shut up, Reggie.
Yeah.
And I get it. But I'm just amazed. I didn't realize that it could happen like this.
Yes,
my
it
bad.
Does.
Look, mea culpa. I was out here not respecting y'all's struggle and what y'all been going through.
You mean me.
That's right. This is one of those things where I thought my sympathy went a little way, and I didn't realize, oh, no, I needed to be in them shoes. Yeah. I needed to really get a feel for it. And I see it. I understand. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I have a really big issue in my neighborhood with these stray dogs, man.
Oh.
I'm not a fan of stray dogs at all. I don't like stray cats, but more importantly,
you don't like any cats.
I don't like any cats, but but stray dogs, man. Like, I don't know what to do, man. Do I call a dog catcher?
See,
because
they just
hang around, man. And do we still
call them the dog catcher?
I guess
I don't know. I ain't trying to be no dog catcher, but I just don't know what to do, man.
It's because you feel bad for them.
Yeah, I don't want to be the person because it seemed like nobody else complaining.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be that person, the one to get call a dog catcher, and I don't know what they're going to do with them.
Yeah.
But sometimes they just be hanging around the house.
And some of them are not nice.
Yeah.
As much as we're all dog lovers, except for Reggie. He's weird.
Yeah. One day I was...
I don't hate dogs. I just don't want the responsibility of having to feed somebody consistently.
Yeah.
It was one time I was unloading the car, and these dogs just came out of nowhere running away. They was a little scared.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one dog that was just constantly barking at me.
Yeah.
I was just like, get your ass out. Get you. And then he just kept barking. He kept barking. You could tell he was scared. So I slammed the trunk, and he hauled ass out of here. I'm just like, man, I can't keep going through that. And now I'm watching the dog Jackson.
Sick Jackson on him.
He ain't about to do nothing. He be scared to bite his dog on food.
Yeah.
But
this is why I like Jackson a lot. Jackson ain't, he not worried.
He don't want
nothing.
No problems, man.
He want no problems.
Yeah, but like, it's kind of frustrating trying to take Jackson out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's other dogs around. Like, I don't want these dogs coming and try to start no mess.
It's
like,
frustrating.
I don't know what to do.
And you feel for them. And you start thinking, well, if they come get them, what are they going to do with them? You know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, nah.
Yeah, I was even thinking about, I guess they had this solar light thing that kind of make a noise.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you could put in the grass or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it make a weird little noise.
Away.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I don't even know if that work.
Yeah.
from the 832. Sounds like Figgy moved into the hood and didn't realize he moved till he moved in.
Oh, no, it's the hood.
Okay. Oh, no, he's like, no, I understood that.
I knew what was going on.
And you took your fridge with the screen on it in there?
Yeah.
You gonna be cool? You good?
Yeah, hey, you got homeless people knocking on my door. Yeah. It's the hood.
Okay, very good.
It's the hood.
The acknowledgement is there. Plenty of dancing and a little bit of acknowledgement of
mortality.
Somebody
said call your local Chinese restaurant.
All right, no, oh, calm down.
Oh. Goodness,
don't do that. Yes, man. Don't do that. They said you call the animal control officer.
There we go.
Yeah.
I knew we'd hone in on that.
There we go. Fantastic. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those were our lunchtime confessions on this Wednesday. Coming up next, let's do a little NFL overreaction or not for week 9. We'll do it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reggie Adetula. And I really shouldn't mention this right now, but you know what? Damn it, I got to do it. There is a blimp.
Oh, absolutely mention that.
Do it say Ice Cube's a pimp?
I can't quite see it. I'll have to double check. I'm shocked. Like, I'm really stunned. I don't remember the last time I just straight up saw a blimp.
There's a blimp over at NRG. It's coming in town for Sunday Night Football.
It's got to be. Cause like, right? Blimps don't just be... They don't just got
on a Wednesday, though?
Just blimps around.
They got to do some practice runs, maybe some tours. I don't know, but okay. It's got to be with Sunday Night Football.
Like, you don't
right?
just look up in the sky and see a blimp randomly.
Plus, they don't move very fast.
You used to back in the day, though, right?
Goodyear.
They used to be
home.
All
the home was in Houston, spring. Actually, in spring. Maybe where the Trill Burgers is now. But they used to...
Never mind. I'm not even going
to
say nothing.
No, they used to house the blimp in spring. Goodyear.
Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into a little NFL overreaction or reality for this week 9 as we head into week 10. And of course, as I say that, my screen don't want to help me out at all. However, regardless, let's jump in and let's begin with NFL reaction or not, number one.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs will keep a perfect record through the regular season, 17-0. Overreaction or not?
Overreaction. But on the table. Have you seen their schedule? I went through a little bit of it yesterday. Like, they should, if they beat Buffalo, which is what they do, they beat Buffalo, their next 4 weeks are very, very doable. They have the Broncos this week, which, okay, you know, they can cause a little, but they're not.
he basically said, that's nice.
Do they play Cincinnati at some point?
Okay, listen to their schedule. They have... Broncos coming into Kansas City. Then they go to Buffalo, which, okay, yes, that's a big-time game. It's going to be, you know, the featured game on Sunday afternoon, November 17th. But they're going to beat Buffalo because that's what the Kansas City Chiefs do. Then they got the Panthers and the Raiders.
Ew.
So they're easily, outside of the Buffalo game, 12-0.
Okay.
Then they got the Chargers coming into town, which, okay, that's going to be...
It's a little tougher.
After that, Browns, Texans... Steelers and Broncos again. It's on the table.
Yeah, there's probably a good 2-1 possible that can give them a run remaining on the schedule.
How sickening would that be? Yeah, I think it's an overreaction, man, because they haven't been blowing teams out or anything, man. It seems a lot of these games been super close, a little bit lower scoring than I would have thought coming with the Chiefs.
How they look since they got DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, against the
Bucks. Yeah, I was about to say, they went to overtime against Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but he did all right. He did all right.
Yeah, I think
it was a close game.
I think Fig's right here. This is an overreaction, but you're not. And I mean, you said that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the craziest of things. Yeah. And that's the part that makes it crazy or that's wild is that it's somewhat tenable here. Like
it is, but they ain't gonna win all of these close games.
Well, I'd rather not.
It's going to be one of these games where it's close and ain't going to go their way.
Yeah.
It'd be real nice if it's when the Texans visit them at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very nice. All right. How about let's bring it back home. Sunday Night Football. Who is it this week?
Well, that would be your Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions.
That's right. At NRG.
Battle Red, baby.
Oh, they're practicing with the red helmets.
Yes, yeah, so obviously to get themselves ready because you got to practice with them in the week if you're going to use them. Mm-hmm. Well... The Detroit Lions are the single best team in the NFL, overreaction or reality?
I don't think it's an overreaction. And that's all respect to the two-time Super Bowl champions. I know what I'm looking at, man. That's a squad. That is a squad.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think that's a reality, and I think it's because they really don't have as many weaknesses that show up, if at all, right? You can point to Kansas City and talk about certain weaknesses that exist. You can point to the Ravens and point to certain weaknesses that exist. It's a lot harder to do that with the Lions team. And this, again, is less of like a direct point and one of those things that just I can't shake, which is they enjoy beating you and then dancing on your grave.
Yeah.
That's the thing that scares me the most. Like, they also have been a team that they've had instances where they haven't put up 31 points like they have in their last four or whatever. They've had instances where, they've been kind of gettable. The problem is they seem to really, really enjoy the opportunity to beat you up and run up the score. Like, that is, and that is the thing that they had to begin with, right? The one thing about the Lions when they started building this, they started with culture.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Campbell as culture setter, very much on that. Look, man, if there's one thing, we're going to do it right, and we're going to get this to happen. And that's one of the things.
Bite your knees.
That's almost going to be a level of, I can already feel the pre-frustration on that, is that the team across from you does some of those same things. Because, like, the Texans, this was supposed to be, D'Amico, come on, culture guy, consummate culture guy, and seeing the two sides of a culture coin where the Texans, and it's not quite two sides of the coin, that's too far, but where the Texans are, you know, really struggling to get to some of those places with the offense. And you look at the Lions where it's basically clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Some other things around, or sorry, not around the NFL, different segment, where we continue on with NFL fact or real overreaction reality. That's the name of the damn segment. What a shame. What a shame. Just verbal stairs, falling down verbal stairs here to be able to try and get to the next point. All right. Let's circle back around. The Packers are the most overrated team in the NFL.
I don't know. That's an overreaction.
Okay.
The Lions beat them and deserved to win the game in Green Bay. The Packers were pretty, they were pretty right there, you know, for most of it after, you know, after falling behind with some, you know, some defensive plays as well that the Lions were making. I think the Packers are really, really good. I really do.
Victories over, obviously, this Houston team, Arizona. Beaten by Philadelphia, Minnesota, Detroit.
Philadelphia and Brazil, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the first game.
Yeah.
And
Jordan Love got hurt.
At the very end, yeah.
Yeah.
It does feel like an overreaction, but I'm watching that space to see if they really are nearly as good. And one of the things that I think makes that overreaction for me is also I really like the coaching on that team. Like,
yeah,
you talk about LaFleur, you talk about Halfley. Like, they put their guys in great position to succeed. So I do feel good about that. All right, as we continue, NFL, overreaction or reality. Dak Prescott's injury will indeed end the season for the Cowboys. Overreaction or reality?
No, I think it's already over. So not an overreaction. The Cowboys are just an absolute mess. They've won three games. They've lost their quarterback. They've lost their direction. They have dissension and at least at minimum disagreements, within the organization. It's going to be humiliating. That's how bad the Cowboys are if the Texans lose to them.
But
it will be. I'll be embarrassed.
They're missing so much.
Yeah.
On that, and I guess you could try and call it an overreaction on getting some of those things back. It just feels like that thing is salted away.
Yeah.
In addition to the fact that one of the things with the Texans, you look around the AFC South and you're like, oh, cool, division, easy enough, right? Like, nobody's really putting pressure on you. They got the Washington Commandos coming out of nowhere at 7-2, in addition to the Eagles team that I don't know that anybody is like feeling great about necessarily.
Yeah.
And yet and still they are also ahead of them. That team is woeful.
Yes,
and
it is.
This feels like kind of a step back year for them as opposed to like going and trying to do anything.
See? Yeah, it's over. It's over.
It's over.
It's reality, man. It wrap it up.
Travis Hunter watches on.
Yeah, their only chance was that Dak Prescott.
Or Shadur Sanders.
Oof. That's the thing. I don't know. I mean, they got that man for $60 million a year.
Yeah, he just got the contract, man.
So Travis Hunter?
If they can get him, that would definitely be a place to go, right? You could play wide receiver.
I'm sure Deion tried to make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
All right, overreaction or reality? Lamar Jackson is the single MVP of the first half of the season.
A little bit of an overreaction. He's in the hunt. I feel like, and this isn't being
like
Lamar hater.
No, not in the least bit. I was really going to say like being a hipster, but I mean, we talk about the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff is completing 82 or 83% of his passes.
Yeah, right? Jared Goff.
I mean, come on.
He's such an interesting dude for me because I've always had a tough time, like, you know, rationing or, you know, reasoning rather it out, because he is clearly a good quarterback. He was drafted. He was number one overall, was he not?
Yes, he was.
Right?
Yes, he was.
But it was always evident that, like, there was some level of guardrails on for him. Mm-hmm. Early on, obviously, we knew that Sean McVay kind of basically telling him as much as he possibly could in his ear and kind of doing those things for him. I guess the guardrails, if you want to call them that, is the offensive line is incredible.
Yes.
The Lions. And I'm not saying that, hey, if you have a running game or if you have support around you, that means you are bad. That would be stupid. However, we see what it is when he's not, when he is under pressure. And yes, any quarterback under pressure is going to be worse. That much worse, though? Like, he looks like an entirely different dude under pressure.
He's now playing pretty dang good.
The benefit of this is he ain't got to worry about that now, does he?
He's right?
He doesn't have to worry about that right now, does he?
Yes, he is.
But, yeah, that's the thing that I always worry about, kind of bounce about.
It's actually, like, fourth on the odds.
When it comes to, like,
Lamar Jackson is tied with Josh Allen.
I feel like the way that
I know. I'm like, what?
The way that Ravens offense has been cooking right now, mm-hmm. you have to give a lot of credit to what he's been able to do, Lamar Jackson.
Man, if he get a third MVP, man.
I don't know that he'll win it for the season, but I think that
would be wild.
If we were doing midseason awards all the way around, I would like him for a midseason MVP.
Again, I'm not trying to be a hipster. Hey, what about Jared Goff?
No, it's fair.
No, he's legit.
No, I agree with you. No,
and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, MVP? You have to consider him. Like,
he's fifth in the odds right now. Mm. He's the only ones ahead of him are Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, and Patrick Mahomes.
You absolutely have.
Is he having a better year than CJ did last year?
Well, we'll see. It's right up there.
We're gonna have to have that conversation soon. Aren't
yes,
we
are. Oof.
All right. Overreaction or reality in the NFL? Saquon Barkley will lead the NFL in yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, that's not an overreaction. I think he will. Yeah.
It's either him or the probable offensive player of the year, Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But Saquon can catch the ball a little more, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, Derrick Henry, you don't really consider him out of the backfield.
Once again, that offseason running back class is stacking up pretty good, huh?
And what's incredible, Joe Mixon ain't no slouch behind him.
No.
Either, right?
True. You could probably put him third behind those two.
You really could.
Yeah.
Like, if you had better line blocking on line, then we've actually seen that.
And he had played a couple more games.
Blocking it a little better, and then that's really the big thing. Because every game he's finished, starting and finished. 100 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Good for it. So you go. That's a little NFL overreaction or reality here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Right now, because it's a Wednesday, almost forgot it was Wednesday in some ways, we have to give away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. We'll do that right now. Caller number 10. I'm just going to stick with that number. It's nice and easy. As you've been seeing a lot. You've been seeing a number 10 jersey walk around these
studios. Yeah, man. Quite a bit. Seeing the DeAndre Hopkins Cardinals
jersey at the studio today. So I guess in honor of that, call number 10 right now, win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop and be entered for an opportunity to win a grill from Texas Star Grill Shop at the end of the season. Again, 713-572-4610. Call number 10 now to win that gift card. Coming up next, we've got some updates from the practice for the Texans. Some really interesting updates. What do they mean? And also, let's talk about Dana Brown feeling confident about bringing Alex Bregman back. We'll talk about those next.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.